Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and it's my pleasure to be here with you all as we gather for this Palm Sunday. You may see the little ones have some of them waving down here. We have some palms up front. So we're going to have a little Palm Sunday celebration here today. So I'm thankful you're here for it. Thankful you can be a part of service with us. Just quickly wanted to announce or share the couple of dates we have for this week. For during Holy Week, we have a few events happening. We do have our Seder meal that'll be happening Thursday that Dave Beskin will be leading for us. It's happening at 6:30. There is a sign-up sheet downstairs just so we can make sure we have enough seating set up and space available. And I'll remind us just one more quick time, it's a Seder meal recreation. It is not a meal. So don't come expecting to eat and be filled. It's going to be a recreation that Dave's going to do for us and share a little bit. But it'll be a meaningful time of worship, and we will be sharing a communion together. But eat dinner, then come. Just so I said it. All right. Then Friday, we have the crosswalk and community Good Friday service planned. We'll be carrying the cross throughout Romeo here. We're going to start down at Real Life Church in the Romeo Plaza, Romeo Theater Plaza there. And we'll be carrying the cross up into town through a few of the various churches in the neighborhoods and then end up here at our church. We'll be having a worship service. I got food on the brain. I looked at Becky and I thought about Easter breakfast. That's what it was. We'll be gathering here then at 6:30 for a Good Friday community service. About seven other area churches and their pastors are going to be joining us. We'll be leading that service together and worshiping together. If you can join us, I encourage you to. Whether you can walk the whole way with us, meet us at Real Life, or meet us at River of God and walk the last block, or just meet us here for the service, whatever works for you, we'd love to have you. I think it'll be a very meaningful time of worship and remembrance, and I'm glad we can do it as a community of faith here in Romeo. And then, of course, Easter Sunday. Next Sunday, April 9th, we will be worshiping at 10 o'clock. We'll have our Easter resurrection celebration. And then following service, we will have a meal. I finally got to it. We will be having Easter breakfast. Becky and the United Women of Faith are hosting, along with the men. They're all teaming up to make it possible. That will be taking our fellowship time. We'll just be having the meal after Easter service next Sunday. And then we'll also have some eggs out in the yard for the kids. We'll have an Easter egg hunt. So bring some friends, bring some family, bring whoever you want. We will have a celebration on that Sunday. So those were the announcements about that. I was also asked to just highlight that our children's ministry, the Odyssey Ministry, is looking for a few more teachers. If you might be interested in learning a little bit more about that, you can talk to Margie, of course. If you want to see what they do on a Sunday, you're welcome to join them for a week just to see how it's going. But we will be looking to add a few more teachers here in the near future, so you can talk to Margie. And I have one last note, and that's for Miss Judy. Come on out. We do offer our sincere thanks to Judy and Craig and everyone. It takes them all, but we couldn't do it without our fearless leader who is here countless hours throughout the weeks and prepping us. So thank you, Judy. And we will do a little wrap-up celebration here in a couple weeks as we get numbers and pictures and everything compiled. So thank you, Judy. So those were... Take your encore. Those were the announcements I had to share with you this morning. So we are going to celebrate. We are going to sing. We are going to praise God. We have our bell choir playing. We have our choir has some numbers prepared. The kids are ready to go. That camera's not for me. That's for them. So we are going to have a great celebration today. So I'm going to invite you to start our time of worship. If you'll stand with me and sing our opening hymn, it's number 64. Holy, holy, holy. Will you sing with me? Will you pray with me? Today, Father God, we rejoice with Christians everywhere that there was at least one day, those few hours at least, that Jesus received the recognition he deserved. We rejoice knowing that his triumphal entry means that truth cannot remain hidden, that good hearts everywhere recognize truth when it appears. Today, Father God, we persist in hope with people on many continents, in many circumstances, who are waiting for the day when their truth can be told. Today, we persevere with them in faith, knowing that the same God who could have commanded the rocks to shout truth in Jerusalem will not allow truth to be suppressed and good people to be crushed forever. We come to this time of worship to celebrate, to sing, to praise, to remember. Let us do so now in your house, we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, we have a few musical performances. Among them, our bell choir is going to be playing for us, and they're going to be coming up at this time. thank you to our Bell Choir for starting us out with that number. And our first scripture reading for today is going to come to us from the Psalms. It's Psalm 118. We'll hear verses 1 and 2, and then we'll hear verses 19 through 29. It can be found on page 541 in the Old Testament of our Pew Bibles. A song of victory. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This ends our first reading for today. And at this time, our choir has their first anthem prepared for us. We're giving them double duty today. They're going to be singing a couple times for us. But first, I'm going to invite you to hear with them, Behold the Lamb.
Thank you.
Amen. I didn't warn you you were going to join the choir, but good job. Well done. Thank you, Irene. Thank you, choir, for leading us in that. And now it's my distinct pleasure to welcome some of the children students coming forward who are going to be doing our children's program for us. They're going to be doing Palm Sunday Live. I'm going to give you a little fair warning in the middle of this. You all got a part to play again. We're going to be singing Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. It's hymn number 278 in our hymnals. So when the time comes, please join us in singing that hymn. Sorry. We'll get there in a minute.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Andrew Jones. Welcome to our Channel 10 News Break. We have breaking news this morning here in the city of Jerusalem. As you can see, the crowd is pretty worked up about something. Apparently, there is a big stir down here in Jerusalem about some important guy coming into the city. Not sure who everyone is waiting for, though. Let's find out what all the commotion is about. Hello, could you please tell me what the crowd is waiting for here?
Where have you been? We're all excited because Jesus is coming.
Call me a small town boy, but I don't know who that is. Excuse me, could you tell me who this Jesus is?
You've got to be kidding. I can't believe you haven't heard of Jesus. Didn't you listen to the prophet? Jesus is the King, the Lamb of God. You do know who God is, don't you?
I believe I've heard of him, yes. But why is he a lamb? Isn't that strange? Isn't that a strange animal to be a king? Wouldn't a lion be better?
He's not a real lamb, Goofy. He is called a lamb because it is written that he will be the ultimate sacrifice to save us from our sins.
Look, here he comes now. Go see if we can get an interview. Excuse me, sir. I see you are following Jesus into the city. Are you a friend?
Yes, in fact. I am a disciple of Jesus. We did what Jesus told us to do and went ahead and found the donkey with the colt and brought it to him. And from what has been said, this is only the beginning of something big to happen.
Is it true, then, that Jesus is the Son of God who came to this world to save us from eternal death?
That is what is written. Why don't you follow us to the temple, and we can tell you more about Jesus, so that you might believe and be followers also.
Thank you. Yes, I believe we will be coming along. I am really interested in hearing more about Jesus. Jesus, could we have a word?
Yes, of course you can. I would be glad to share with you.
Did you know that this would happen today? I mean, this crowd and this celebration?
Yes, I am not surprised. It is as the prophet had spoken.
Where are we going now?
To the temple to turn back to the house of prayer. Why don't you follow?
Thank you. We would really like that. There you have it, folks. We have been told today that this is only the beginning of something big to come. We will be back to report on any further updates. This is Andrew Jones for Channel 10 News. Now, let's go learn more about this guy.
Come on down, guys. Come on down, guys. So our choir has one more song prepared, and it's titled Wave the Palms. So if you have those palms, we're not done waving them yet. Would you help us? The kids are going to help us out. We're going to wave them some more as our choir sings Wave the Palms. Let's go down. We just sang it in the song, guys. We sing Hosanna, we wave the palms, but they also laid the palms down across the street as Jesus came. And so I'm going to encourage you guys, if you want, we can lay our palms here on the altar. We can lay them at the front of the altar across the ground here, and let us lay them down just as they did for Jesus on that day. And congregation, do you think they did all right? Did they do a good job for their parade? Thank you guys so much for helping us out. You're welcome to head with Margie back to Odyssey. We're so glad you could join us for today. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Here you go, Nathan. We even got some cloaks left behind. Seems appropriate. Well, We do celebrate. We celebrate the waving of palms. We celebrate that triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And we take this time to share our joys and our concerns, those items we have in our lives. And one that Judy touched on, and I just wanted to list a few of these numbers, the fish fries that we had this year. Over those 3 weeks, this past week, we served over 550 meals this past week alone. Our children and the youth that worked, they received over $660 in tips to go directly towards the scholarships for summer camp. That was a wonderful thing to see. In total, we served over 1,500 meals in 3 weeks, folks. And there were countless volunteers who worked countless hours to make that all possible. And there's one pastor whose heart couldn't be fuller. Thank you, guys. I heard from so many in the community, so many who it means so much to. It seems like a simple thing to fry up some fish, to open our doors, but it makes a difference. People love it. They love the community aspect, the fellowship, the fun, and the food ain't bad either. So thank you for opening our doors and showing them who we are as Romeo United Methodist Church. We are a place that opens our doors. We are a place that welcomes and loves and encourages. So thank you for showing that to our world. I also received a message from Margie. I knew she was going to have to step out, so I told her I was going to include it. But it's one of the best messages I get to receive as a pastor because it included a picture. Go ahead for me there, Heidi. She sent me a picture of her new grandson, Cameron Baldwin, who was born this past week. That is Cameron there, and we celebrate his birth with the family. Margie did ask that we keep him in prayers. They did discover he has a hole in his heart that they're monitoring right now and keeping an eye on him, but prayers for Cameron, for mom and dad, and for the whole family as they celebrate his birth. I also received a couple messages from Jenny Teller this week. You may remember a few weeks back, we started collecting garbage bags downstairs. You may see the box that's down there. We started collecting those Kroger and Meijer and Walmart bags. Whatever bags you got, we'll take them. And I received a message from Jenny that she had finished her first mat. Can you put that up there? Can you put there's Jenny with her mat, which we celebrate. She told me that mat was being loaded onto the more than a bus that was heading into Detroit this week that goes and takes food and supplies to the homeless and those in need. So we celebrate that with you, Jenny, and there's a lot more bags down there, so we can keep you busy for a while. The other mat up there, the one to the right, that was one that was done by Kathy Campbell, who's also been working on it. I understand that was her eighth mat, I believe, that she'd completed. It's a wonderful ministry. If you have questions or you want to help or support it, I'm sure you can talk to Jenny. She'd be happy to share. And, of course, we'll continue to take those bags. So thank you for that, Jenny. I'm sorry, I have one more that was shared with me this morning. Nathan actually received a phone call from Connie Zemke. They're traveling. And Connie's husband, Dan, had a grand mal seizure while they were down in Alabama. So please keep Dan, keep Connie, keep the whole family in your prayers as they look for answers and get him help and get him the treatment he needs while they're traveling. We keep Dan and Connie in our prayers. Those are the ones that I had. Nathan and Craig have the microphones if you have others that you'd like to share today.
I'd like to thank everybody who has sent sympathy cards for the cards that they sent. I would also remind you that Amy is not his mother. We've been married for 21 years, and Jeff was 58 years old when he passed. So please keep his wife, Laura, and his daughter, Vanessa, and daughter, Serena, in your thoughts and prayers. Thank you.
We continue to keep your family in our prayers, Dad, of course.
Good morning. Next week when we celebrate Easter, new growth, new beginnings. Us ladies, some of us already have our donned in little hats and fufus. anyway, we'd like to ask every lady that's here to please wear a hat or a fascinator or something next week. Or an Easter bonnet. There we go. So we all look very nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Are there others this morning that would like to share?
Have a joy. I think I would just thank Linda Zimmerman and her daughter Beth Silva again for the beautiful new banners we have hanging in the sanctuary. They're absolutely gorgeous.
Absolutely. Thank you, Becky, for that reminder. For the festive and appropriate, always on theme, always hitting our scriptures with me, Beth, I'm going to do a wonderful job with that. We are thankful.
Marilyn Bracey again. Just a short recap on Nate, the young man that had been in the hospital. He's doing really well. He's improving every day, and they're hoping you can move him soon to a facility that can give him more physical therapy. But he's responding with family, and they see improvements every day. So we thank the Lord for that, and everyone who's prayed, I appreciate that. Amen. Also, I might ask you to say prayers for my son-in-law's brother. He's been taken to the hospital with fluid in his lungs that continues to increase every day. They withdraw it, and then it builds again. They've already started on cancer treatment. It's in his lungs, and they're not sure where it's what else is coming from. But it's very concerning. His name is Eric Johnston. Thank you.
We will keep Eric in our prayers, and we continue to keep Nate in our prayers as he continues to improve and recover. Thank you, Marilyn.
Continued prayers for my grandson. He was baptized in the Jordan, and I'm just so proud.
Absolutely, Dory. There's another picture I received this week that was a great one from Dory, a picture of her grandson who's traveling with school and friends over in the Holy Land being baptized in the Jordan River. We do celebrate that indeed. Thank you, Dory.
Becky already covered one of my praises because those banners are just spectacular. But the other one I had was for Mary Jo and Nita. I know many of you might not know, but they do most of the work outside that beautifies with the flowers. And it was just so great to walk in and see the beautiful pansies out there at the back door. After the snow left with all the evergreens, now we have some beautiful spring flowers. So Nita and Mary Jo, thanks for all the work you do out there.
Okay, we're going to be moving this week to Clinton Township from Washington. And some friends reminded me it's not that far to come to Romeo. And also, since we're downsizing from a house to an apartment, I have a lot of patio furniture if anyone has a need for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, our prayers with you as you move, and if you need some additional outdoor furniture, stop and see Ann after service. But we do celebrate with you and hope to see you continue with us in the future.
I'd just like to say that you are not allowed to go to a different church, and you must come back here, Paul. Yeah, 50 years? 50 years. God bless you both. God bless you. Thank you.
I was baptized in this church over 70 years ago, and we've been through our ups and downs, never left, and I think we all are aware what happened when Pastor Glanville left. We kind of had some difficult times, a lot of good people kept the faith, and I just, you know, I just think we should thank God for the pastor and his family. I don't know if that's been said yet, and I know we all think it. But God truly blessed us and helped to keep the faith. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale.
Amen. Thank you, Dale. This pastor and his family are blessed as well. And I'm blessed by all the good people, as you said, that are before me by this congregation. So thank you. The feeling is mutual. Thank you.
I have a good neighbor story. A friend of mine was sitting at home. He's just turned 90 a short time ago. And a friend of his that lives either next door in the neighborhood always comes over and checks on him and visits him. And they were talking the other day, and my friend was talking to his neighbor, and all of a sudden his voice started trailing off. So his neighbor right away called 911, and they took him to the hospital, and he had a, what is it?
Seizure? Heart attack?
No. a minor stroke. And the hospital gave him some medicine, and I don't know if he came back home the same day or not, but he's back home and doing well, and thanks to his good neighbor.
Absolutely. We celebrate. Good neighbors, good friends.
Thank you.
Being with us in the time we need them and being there to help with that. So thank you, Frank, for that reminder.
Continue prayer for Beth Tyson.
Continue to keep Beth in our prayers. Thank you, Nathan. Are there any others this morning?
I don't want to prolong this any longer, but I just want to thank everyone here who reached out to my wife during the fish fries. You all have been just a blessing to both of us. And my heart's filled with gratitude for you all, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig.
I'd just like us all to remember our military, those who are serving not only here in the States, but also around the world, as they will not be home for Easter with their families. So we ask for comfort and peace for them, and that our chaplains will be able to give the word of God and about our Savior, Lord and Jesus Christ, to them, and not be hindered by any government regulations against it. So also we keep our president and all the cabinet and those around him with wisdom and understanding for the mighty and heavy decisions they have to make. And we are called by our Bible to pray for those who are in power or who rule over us. And one last thing, I want to give out an open invitation to anybody out there in video or within our hearing to come to our church on Sunday morning to celebrate Easter. If you don't have a church, we would love to have you.
Amen.
Thank you, Amen. Jim, for that. Thank you for that reminder for our military, those who won't be able to be home but can still hear that good news that we will celebrate, and the invitation that our doors will be open and we'd love to have you next week. Thank you, Jenny. We've heard some joys and we've heard some concerns, but we also know who else has heard them. We know that our Heavenly Father knows those needs, celebrates those joys with us. And we take this moment to lift them to him, to lift those that we've heard, but also if you have another need, another concern on your heart, take this moment, lift it to God in this time of silent prayer. Father God, on this day of celebration, of song, of waving of the palms, we find ourselves standing at a bit of a crossroads. Lord, we love this moment. We love the excitement. All the years later, we can still feel the energy that was present, feel the joy that rippled amongst that crowd as they watched Jesus ride into Jerusalem. It is something to imagine. Something to long to be a part of. But Lord, we also realize that, as it is so often true, even as some in our world celebrate and lift those joys, others find themselves in places of difficulty and struggle. There are those that we have heard here today dealing with illness and loss, dealing with pain and uncertainty, dealing with loss of hope, loss of faith. Family members, friends, co-workers, neighbors, people who are hurting in our world. And Lord, it matters not whether their pain is physical or emotional or spiritual. They are in this moment struggling. So help us, we pray, to acknowledge those difficulties that others are facing. Help us to reach out in love, reach out with encouragement. Reach out and ask them what it is that they need. If it is something we can provide, then Lord, let us provide it. If it is something only you can provide, then Lord, I pray that we be with them, that we pray with them, that we encourage them, that they might find your name, that they might find your grace and accept it for themselves. For it is on this day that we pray in the name of the one who comes, not just for the parade, but comes for the cross that stands at the end of it. And as we pray in his name, we so now pray this prayer that he taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I've already given my thanks for this congregation, this church, the ministries, the mission of this place. It is a beautiful thing. It is a thing that's only made possible because of so many committed, so many faithful, so many good people. And I am thankful for that ministry that we do. And we do have our offering box that's on the organ if you wish to leave a gift that makes those ministries possible, all those things that are possible. I just caught Dave Ferris out of the corner of my eye and realized I forgot to make one announcement. It's one that's been coming for over 3 months now. We do have offering envelopes. They have finally come in. They've been received. And Dave and Shelley worked this week. They are available in the fellowship hall. They'll be on the table underneath the clock there if you wish to grab them. But we do have the box if you wish to leave gifts here today. We do have our online giving available at romeoumc.com. I offer my thanks and let us offer a word of prayer for the collection and the gifts we have today. Holy God, as we enter into this holy week, we've brought our tithes and our offerings. We bring them to your altar in the hope that you will use them to make the world a more loving and a more compassionate place. Lord, in just a moment, we're going to hear the scripture. We're reminded that you sent two of those disciples ahead to make the world ready for your coming, sending them into the village to find that donkey, telling them the Lord had a need. Lord, remind us today that even as your kingdom breaks through into this world, there are still things you need. There are still things the Lord needs. Things that we are called to do, to be, to give. The Lord has a need. Help us to respond this day. Help us to respond to those opportunities you place before us. Help us to serve you through our service to others. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Our second scripture reading is going to take us to Matthew's Gospel. It's Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. This is found on the page 21 of the New Testament of our pew Bibles, if you want to follow along. It's Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This, my friends, is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We heard those words from the psalmist in our first scripture reading. Perhaps when you hear those words, you can't help like me, but your mind jumps to the hymn, to the campfire song that's been sang for so many generations. It's always been a favorite of mine when the leader sings, "This is the day," and the kids echo it back and they go back and forth. This is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day. I could think of no better, no more apt description for this day. This is the day for the events that we celebrate on this Palm Sunday, the day that we remember that happened long ago. Our bell choir and our choir has blessed us with those beautiful songs, those beautiful numbers, the children and their program and the waving of the palms. It's all a celebration, all in remembrance that this was the day that Jesus made his way back to Jerusalem. He made that triumphant entry into Jerusalem. It was on this day that Jesus left no doubt. No more hidden meanings, no more half-answered questions. This was the day that he announced of what was foretold coming true as he arrived, the king, into Jerusalem. Celebrated and praised by those who had been waiting for the Messiah, waiting generations. And I'll be honest with you, I read this text and I reread it, and I found myself moving over to Mark, over to Luke, over to John. Each of the Gospels has an account of this parade, of this event that took place. Different details, different things that they focused on. I read them and reread them this week. But it was as I had read and reread them that there was one specific phrase that stood out to me, something that I noticed. It appeared in both Matthew and Mark's telling of the events, actually, both of their Gospels. Can you go ahead and put that up there for us, Heidi? There we see it. We read it in Matthew 21, verse 9. It began, "The crowds that went ahead of him." And in Mark 11, verse 9, it reads, "Then those who went ahead." Those phrases, they had my ears buzzing a little bit. They had my attention as I read this story. Because it's a common part of the Palm Sunday story that we read of the disciples being sent ahead. A couple of the disciples sent ahead to gather that donkey and the colt that Jesus needed. We read that regularly, that he'd sent them ahead. But then I read this, "The crowds that went ahead of him." Those who went ahead. As I read those, something else dawned on me. Something else came to me as I read those words. Because I don't think any of us would ever debate, would ever question that it takes faith to follow Jesus. It isn't easy to be a follower. It took faith for those first disciples to drop their nets and follow. It still takes faith for us today to choose to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But this story, this Palm Sunday story, tells us that there were those in the crowd, those who had learned from and seen Jesus, seen the miracles, that they went one step further on this day. the crowd, or at least some of those in the crowd, they took it one step further, and they led the way for Jesus into Jerusalem. They didn't follow. They weren't content to follow any longer. They led the way. As Jesus journeyed on that road, knowing what awaited him in Jerusalem, he had a crowd of support all around him. Those going before him, those following behind, those who were there to worship and praise, to leave no doubt that this was Jesus, the Christ, the one that had been prophesied, the one that was the Messiah. And as I thought about that, I wondered, what kind of faith does that take to be one of those who goes on before, to walk the path that's never been walked before, to walk into an unknown territory that likely had some people who were not happy to see that parade coming their way, to face challenges that were going to wait before them, to go knowing that Jesus is behind you, urging you on, yet still you must take those steps in faith. Go and take each and every step in faith. As we're gathered here on this Palm Sunday, it made me stop and wonder, made me stop and think a little for myself. Am I choosing to follow Jesus? Or am I willing to get out in front and lead the way, to prepare the way for the Lord? Are we telling people about the one we follow? Are we sharing what he's done in our lives, sharing who he is, the miracles we've seen, the lives we've seen touched? Are we bold enough to step out and prepare the way? And please don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting for a moment that both don't take faith. It takes faith to follow. It takes faith to lead. There is a time and a place to lead the charge, and there is a time and a place to be those who follow. All are necessary, all are needed in God's kingdom. But it makes me wonder, how might we lead the charge so that others will want to join in that parade, so that others will see what is happening and want to be a part of it? Judy shared with me a story, so many stories out of the fish fries, but a woman who came up to her and said, "This is incredible. There's so much going on here. There's so much. I think I might want to be a part of a church that behaves and acts like this." Judy said, "That's wonderful. What's your name?" And the woman said, "My name is Judy." I don't think it was a chance encounter that Judy was the one able to share about our church with that woman. What does it look like to lead the way that others want to be a part of a mission, of a ministry, of a church like that? Of a church that can experience God's love, experience the joy that can be found on a day of celebration. The celebration that is found in shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." To me, I think that's one of the greatest questions found in this text, found in this story. Because there were those who were leading the parade. There were those who were following in the parade. There were those who were lining the streets of the parade route. And if we really want to think about it, there were those who were sitting up in their ivory towers, none too pleased about this parade, about this Savior riding into town. But in all of that, all those different groups, all those different people, it makes me stop and wonder for a moment. Did they get it? Did they really understand? Did they see what was happening before them? Because I'm certain Jesus didn't just allow this parade to happen just for the fun of it. We all love a parade. Let's face it, we live in Romeo. There's going to be a big old parade coming down this road in just a couple months here. We do it every year. We love a parade. Everyone loves a good parade. But Jesus didn't let this parade happen just for the sake of a parade. It was taking place for a purpose. There was a lesson to be taught, something to be learned in this time. As I read Matthew's account, as I looked back at it, I think Matthew got it. Maybe he got it in the moment as it was happening, or maybe it was upon reflection a little bit later down the line as he was writing his gospel down. But at some point, Matthew, I think, understood. It's why in that reading that we heard, he references Zechariah. He goes back to the writings of the prophet. It's why he goes back and remembers what Zechariah had wrote. "Your king is coming for you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Zechariah knew it years before. Matthew witnessed it in that moment. The king, the Messiah, was not coming on a war horse. He wasn't coming looking to shed blood in those streets. He was coming on a donkey of peace. He was coming
in a different way. Did the crowd get it? Did they understand? Maybe they did. Their shouts of Hosanna might suggest that they did. Hosanna, which translates to literally save us, is what they were shouting at Jesus as he came down the street. But then there are those who suggest that that shout of Hosanna may have been nothing more than a word of hooray, that word had lost its meaning to the people of Israel at that time. They'd been waiting so long, they'd forgotten what it truly meant to be waiting for their Savior to shout Hosanna. Perhaps they were just enjoying the excitement and fun of a parade, a reason to break up an otherwise mundane day. Hosanna may have just been hooray. Did they get it? Did the parade goers get it? I don't know. And I fully acknowledge it's not my job to judge or to determine whether they understood, whether they got what they were a part of or not. I don't get to judge their heart or their intentions behind them. But what I do know is that this scene, this parade, this celebration, this coming of a king, it is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for each and every one of us to consider a very important question for ourselves. It's a question we can only ask and only we can answer. And it is, do I get it? Do I understand what Jesus was doing? Am I willing to acknowledge what was really taking place on that road leading into Jerusalem? Or do I like getting caught up in the crowd? Do I like waving the branches, shouting the hosannas? Do I like the celebration? Or do I get it? Do I understand what happened? Because as much as we might want to acknowledge it, the celebration, it doesn't go on forever. It's fun to celebrate, but every celebration comes to an end, and this one did too. Gleefully shouting Hosanna, that parade led and had a final destination. This parade, it ended right at the temple, right in the heart of Jerusalem. And it's in the very next verse. If I had read one verse farther in that gospel telling, it takes on a very different tone. Gone is the revelry, gone is the celebrations. Instead, Jesus enters into the temple. And what he finds, it causes him to see red. He flips the tables of the money changers. He chases them out. He knocks over the cages of the animals being held for slaughter, profits that people were trying to make in God's house. He calls them out for turning it into a den of thieves. Things go downhill pretty quickly for Jesus from this moment. Things don't get a lot better for him over the next week. So again, I ask the question, do I get it? Do I understand that for all the celebration, for all the joy that was shared, there is something so much more happening in this moment, in this encounter? This is the Messiah. This is a man from Nazareth. This is Jesus fulfilling the promise God had made to his people so many years before, a promise that he would not leave them as the broken, sinful creatures that they were, but that he would come back and redeem them. This is God proclaiming that there is nothing he won't do to bring his children home, even if it means sending his own son to his death. God will do whatever is necessary to welcome us back into his presence. This is the day. This is the moment that we all get to make a choice. Are we willing to proudly and boldly stand with Christ to lead the way, to do what Jesus calls us to do? Are we willing to prepare the way for the Lord, to prepare the path that he will walk? Will we tell others who he is? Will we tell others what he has done? Will we invite them to come and see for themselves, to come and experience the hope, the joy, the grace that has been so freely given to us, that is so freely available to so many? Or are we willing to attend the parade, to have the celebration, and then disperse with the crowd? What choice are we going to make? Going back to our lives or leading the way for our Lord? As we enter into this Holy Week, I pray, I hope for all of you, each and every one of us in this room, each and every one of us throughout our community, throughout our world, that we will have a moment to experience God's presence in this week, that we will feel God's love, that will celebrate, that will feel the wonder, that will feel the awe, the grace of what is taking place, of what took place when Jesus went to that cross. A moment that will be touched by the Holy Spirit. Maybe it will be during a time of worship, during a time of singing, during a time of praise. Perhaps it will be in a quiet moment alone. We know Jesus is going off in that garden to pray alone. Perhaps your moment will be with God, between you and God. Maybe it will be as you hear the passion story read again, as you hear what Jesus did for you. It might be while you carry the cross down Van Dyke Avenue. Whatever it might be, I pray that you have that experience. You have that moment, whenever, however it happens. I pray that you will have that experience that will leave you no other choice but to declare, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then, my friends, let us gladly and boldly and proudly share it with all that we meet. With our community, with our friends, with our family, with the strangers, with our coworkers, with our enemies, whoever it might be that needs to hear of the love of Christ, of what Jesus did and is doing for us. For he came once, he's coming again. Thanks be to God. Amen. If you grabbed a communion cup on your way in this morning, that's great. If you didn't, I know our ushers, Guy has the tray right here. I think Craig has one in back as well. Just grab one of their attentions and they'll get you a communion cup here. We have the chance to share in this meal together, to remember what Jesus did with his disciples. And I'll remind us, it is the practice, it is the tradition and belief of the United Methodist Church that this is the Lord's Supper. This is Jesus' gift to us. There's no price on this. There's nothing we can do to earn this. This is God's gift to us. And all are welcome to freely receive, whether you're a member of our church or not. This is the Lord's Supper. So I invite you, as you take that top layer off to get the bread out and prepare to receive, will you join me in the communion liturgy, the words of which will be found on the screens. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which Christ gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us likewise take and receive. Likewise, when the meal was over, Christ took the cup, again giving all thanks and praise to God. He told his disciples, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us also take and drink. Father God, it is in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ that we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Sorry, I forgot to announce one thing. You have your palms. I invite you to bring them as we're singing the closing song or as you exit today. Please add them to our path for Jesus. Add them to our altar on the floor here before you as we exit or during the song here today.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna. Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make all things new. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Hosanna. Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna. Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
On this day, let us give thanks to God, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Hosanna in the highest. We go from this place. As we go, let us cry for salvation. We go from this place ready to follow Jesus to the garden, to the cross, to the tomb. We go from this place ready to pay attention as the waving of palms turns to a sentence of crucifixion. But we go from this place knowing that even in death, God's love endures. Let us go with that blessing. Let us go with that hope now and always. Amen. Thank you, Peggy.